It officially is the start of summer. That's what Memorial Day also means to a lot of people. But of course, in our hearts, we recognize and remember the people who have sacrificed the most so that we can live in this free nation and get to enjoy the summer times that we have enjoyed in our lifetimes, no matter how old you are. It certainly is about tipping the cap to the families that have lost strong, brave men and women who have fought our various wars. And to the people who are serving now, we also say thank you very much. And I am proud to say that on Memorial Day, my neighborhood was just lined in flags, all kinds of flags, but especially the American flag, flag, was very, very prevalent. The president recognized Arlington Cemetery Memorial Day, talked about honor and things like sacrifice and also things that we have to keep up with in the future.
That's why on this day we remember our sacred obligation to those who laid down their lives so we could live ours, to finish the job these men and women started by keeping our promise to those who wear America's uniform to give our troops the resources they need. Let us never forget to always remember and to be worthy of the sacrifice they make in our name. May God bless the fallen and all those who serve. And may God continue to bless the United States of America. Let it be our task, every single one of us, to honor the strength and the resolve and the love these brave Americans felt for each other and for our country.
All right, so today, hopefully you had a chance to finish out, round out a nice Memorial Day weekend, getting ready for a big week in D.C., as things start to wind down, eventually here for a break once again. What's the best gig to have, senator or congressperson? Why? Because usually you're there Tuesday through maybe Friday. You take off for the weekend. You get 2 weeks here and 2 weeks there. So sometimes you have to burn the midnight oil to read the bills that you put together that are 600 pages long. But you get so much time off. So Memorial Day does signify the start of a couple of things. In the movie business, this is where they make their buck. 40% of the profits for an entire year come out of the summer. So big releases happen in the summertime. This weekend, Fast and Furious 6 came out. Hangover 3 also out. And who do you think did better? Which film did better at the box office? You're not going to believe which one. I'm going to tell you later. Also, you're not going to believe what happened to a cruise ship. I can't make this stuff up. More and more, there's just no way I would go on a cruise. And wait till you hear this next one. We're saving it. We're saving it. Coming up this week, like I said, a big week in politics and a big week also when it comes to justice and whether or not there is justice for all. And I think the big thing is the Jody Arias trial, now the penalty phase, the redo, after not being able to decide. And I said this last week, but for those of you who may have tuned into me for the first time, or maybe you're just hearing this for the first time, just briefly, Jody Arias stabbed her boyfriend. Almost, Travis Alexander stabbed him 30 times, practically cut off his head, shot him in the face. The family was just distraught. Couldn't believe it. Have been through this, the ringer with this case, because it's been years. They got the decision where she's convicted. Then they're waiting for the penalty. What's going to happen? Is she getting life? Is she getting the death penalty? The prosecutor went for the death penalty. And it was not a unanimous decision, so that means it's the penalty phase. That's how they do it in Arizona. It's the penalty phase all over again. All over again. Can you imagine living through that? Oh, can't. The family just is just beside themselves, and that's going to be a big push this week. to get that rolling, but easier said than done. I say it drags out even longer for at least another couple of months, maybe even longer than that, maybe even a little bit longer. This was one sad thing that I did see over Memorial Day. You know, they have parades. People go to Arlington Cemetery. All the presidents always do that. And so do people who are there for other ceremonies. And there are similar things happening around the country where you have veterans that are buried in certain cemeteries or certain areas, that kind of thing. And there's it's always about remembering, right? Well, the streets of Beverly Hills were the same streets that they always were. And why? Because the city canceled its Memorial Day parade for the first time since the end of the Civil War. The end of the Civil War. And you know what they said? They said there wasn't enough veterans, so they couldn't do it. Can you imagine? That length of time doing that recognition thing, doing a little parade route, that whole deal, and then just flat out canceling it. They say the numbers, though, have fallen so low that they just decided, let's meet in the middle of the park and have a ceremony. We just won't have a parade because we don't have enough people. So you have veterans who served in Korea and other wars who are upset. And they said, listen, if you have enough people that come forward, then we'll come up with a way, we'll bring the parade back, but we don't think there are enough people that will go out and watch the parade. We're just not getting enough people. Ooh, Beverly Hills. They have other things to do. That's too bad, because probably in neighboring cities, they could probably dig up many veterans who would come out to recognize fellow vets. Because certainly in California, if you went through the rolls, there are many, many service people who gave their lives over the year. And even in that part of California, just that whole southern area, I mean, Beverly Hills is part of Los Angeles, for goodness sake. So you would assume that they could get people to go back to it, but that's too bad because it really upset a lot of people, whether it's a handful of people or not. They felt like they were being treaded on. There was several Vietnam vets who normally marched in the Memorial Day parade in the past, and there was one guy who was heavily quoted. Ron Innocenti is his name, and he had been the Grand Marshal, and it was a way for him to speak to other veterans, and he was part of the American Legion post, so bummer. That would be the thumbs down on a very up day, because as I said, there were all kinds of ceremonies, big and small and everything else across the United States. I mean, thousands, probably literally thousands of Memorial Day tributes. In our sporting events, we know that that always happens. In Major League Baseball, the players had camouflage hats on. Really, across the board, you saw that. There were big, giant flags that were unfurled. They played taps, all kinds of things to honor veterans. Had a lot of veterans in the crowd. A lot of really cool ways to recognize, including flyovers and all that sort of stuff. Coming up on the flip side, a little segment I like to call For Real? That's next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, May 24th, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $1,393.10. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,429.12, $714.56 for a half ounce, or $357.28 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,429.12, $714.56, and $357.28.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. Do you know the number one most valuable item in a crisis? Some people think the answer is gold. Others think it's a gun. But the correct answer will shock you. I just created a free video at crisis123.com that reveals a surprising item that is more valuable than gold in a crisis. 97% of Americans don't have this one critical item. In fact, they haven't even given it a thought. And the sad truth is that you may not survive without it when a real crisis hits and a starving mob is right outside your door. What I have to tell you could literally make the difference between life and death for you and your family. Watch my video at crisis123.com to discover the number one most valuable item in a crisis. You'll be shocked. See the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go watch my video now at crisis123.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's crisis123.com.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. You know, what does it take to be on a cruise ship that actually gets you from point A, B, C, and D? In other words, you stop at a few ports, you have a few Mai Tais, you run around the ship a few times, you sing some songs with a lounge singer, and that's it. You're done, right? You eat too much, you gain your 10 pounds, then you get off the ship. No. That's not happening anymore. Instead, people are either falling off the ship and disappearing, or they're jumping, who knows, or the ship is being stranded and the poop deck literally is the poop deck because the toilets don't work. You just never know what you're going to get. Or the captain wants to get a little bit closer to the shore and wave to some people, and so then the ship crashes. So this ship, this time around, had 2,224 guests. At least that's what the manifest says. 796 crew members. They were going to Cocoa Bay, Bahamas. But the ship was redirected to Freeport for evaluation. Royal Caribbean. What happened? A fire started in the rear of that boat. The Royal Caribbean's Grandeur of the Seas was the name of it. It happened about 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday while it was headed toward the Bahamas, right? So the passengers are flying home from Freeport because the company canceled the rest of that voyage. They said they were making arrangements to get the people back to Baltimore where the crews left port on Friday on a 7-night venture. As always, what do the passengers get in return? For a wrecked vacation, they get refunds, woohoo, for the cruise, and a certificate toward a future cruise. Yeah, that's bad. Parting gifts. I don't think those parting gifts are worth it. Proving to me that point that I have no desire to be on a floating, not sure what's going to happen to your boat. You want to go on the crapshoot of your life? Get on one of these boats. Get on one of these boats. And you should see the back of it. This is radio. It's all, just picture a boat. If you were to take a kid's boat that was big, like a big replica, let's say, of a cruise ship and set it on fire, and we do smell the melting plastics. I don't advise that at home. But you would see what was left when you stomped it out, like a marshmallow effect. Well, it looked like a giant marshmallow. Doesn't make you feel good. All right, so for real, the Rutgers new AD, right, athletic director, Julie Herman, gets to keep her job. The school released a statement. Now, if you're not on board with what happened here, here's the thing. This woman was in the mid-90s, the volleyball coach at Tennessee. 15 players say in 1997 that she called them whores. She made them wear their clothes backwards, not take showers, all kinds of things. She harassed players. One player, Abby Watkins, told Andy Katz at ESPN that the allegations are absolutely true, because now this woman is saying, she's defending her tactics and saying that she never called them those names, never did any of those kinds of things. And one of the players of the 15 that had things to say about her in the past and quit the program, all that kind of stuff, say that, listen, the pain that we went through as a team is validated. All the things that were written are unfortunately true. Many of these things happened to me personally. I truly hope that Julie has changed, but refused for anyone to deny the fact that our teams had been crushed and our hearts had been broken. She said in the email she was the first to speak out of the meeting where the players presented the letter to Herman. They gave it to her. And I said to her, she made me hate the game I love. And that's exactly what happened. And then this AD, this woman who's taking over the Rutgers beleaguered program with all kinds of image problems heading into the Big Ten, is saying, oh, I never saw that letter. I don't know what you're talking about. So her job was to shore up the transition after they already had a basketball coach that was abusive to players and was fired, an AD that had suspended him for a handful of games without pay, but that didn't matter because there was videotape of some of the things that he did. So when there was a firestorm, they ditched. I mean, listen, he resigned, but they forced the AD, Tim Pernetti, to resign. They kicked the basketball coach to the curb, said forget it, and there's a new sheriff in town. Unfortunately, she's very much like the last people. So showing that Julie Herman could be just like Melissa McCarthy, her version on a skit, a parody on Saturday Night Live of an abusive female coach. You just can't make this stuff up. It is a real for real. Matt, is that the craziest story? They're Nutgers, not Rutgers. What are they doing? How do they vet people out?
I don't know, but I think the Big Ten might be regretting the decision to add Rutgers to the conference rather than some other school. Because I know they added Maryland and Rutgers, but there were some other schools that were in contention. They're trying to add Notre Dame. There's talk about, what was the other one? I can't remember now. I think it was, man, now I'm drawing a blank.
I know Maryland, but I didn't know the other ones.
There's another Eastern school. I can't remember what it is now. Somebody will remind me.
We'll figure it out.
North Carolina or somewhere like that. I can't remember exactly. Louisville. That's the one.
Oh, and that would have been big. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just one mess after another at Rutgers. I mean, it going all the way back
happened to the Rice, the scandal,
right.
I mean, the coach?
Yeah, him. And I mean, it's just one thing after another. And I don't know, my mind is all over the place from Memorial Day weekend. So I'm going to put myself on mute for a minute.
Mute so you can think about it. Now, here's what I think. I think the entire group should be let go. If the governor, Chris Christie, is on the warpath, he is furious. I heard he didn't eat anything at the Memorial Day barbecue. I mean, I know he has the band and all that. because he's so distraught. So Rutgers needs to clean house. They need to get rid of the president. They totally do. This woman is obviously, she's got to be a pathological liar. I think so. I mean, listen, I don't believe 15, 16 other people are lying. There's nothing that they gain from this.
She has to be one hell of an interviewer, though.
Oh, no kidding. And that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, there's just some people that can bowl you over in an interview. I mean, just knock it out of the park, and it doesn't matter. You wouldn't even think about what the past is. But this is the problem. Rutgers needs to wake up and learn that when you hire someone, especially you're paying them over $400,000, they're the athletic director, the face of your athletics. And they have a big football program that is so massive that Greg Schiano, who was the coach for them, ended up getting picked off by Tampa Bay, so went to the NFL, took some people with him, and they have a spotlight on them for some pretty good programs. And they're blowing it big time. The Big Ten has to regret, I think they have to regret, this nonsense that they're stepping into. It's just massive confusion. I mean, the players, they signed it. They have copies of it. It doesn't, you know, people make up things, but a complaint against a coach, there's no way that 15 out of 15 players are going to sign some kind of letter with false allegations against a coach who was doing a good job, that they were just, oh, disgruntled. I'm not getting enough playing time on the volleyball courts. That's not what it was. So how can this athletic director, say, face lead that school into the future? I don't get it. There's no way. This is what I think. Since I have a family of Rutgers alums, I didn't go to Rutgers, but a lot of the rest of the crew did, including my brother. I think that what has to happen here is, I mean, they wouldn't even give Rice a second chance, right? They released the tapes, all that kind of stuff. Once that was out, that was it. You know, the basketball coach, the men's basketball coach, and now she gets this chance. I mean, there's just no way they can do this. They're going to have to pay her off. That's what's eventually going to happen. This is going to drag out and twist into a wild conversation, but there's just no way they can weather this. So the cruise ship, which I think is brutal, and Julie Herman, I don't know, for real? You got to be kidding me. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to John Englander. In case you missed it, I'm going to give you an update on the backside of this, on the weather, talking about the Jersey Shore cleanup and worried about hurricanes in the future. Stay with us.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your home alarm works after an intruder is inside your home, but real home security begins before intruders enter. Burglaries and home invasions are at an all-time high, and crime is skyrocketing in rural and suburban areas. 85% of break-ins are through a door, and police response is often greater than 20 minutes. You can't afford to wait that long. Stop burglars with police-tested and recommended Easy Armor from Armor Concepts. Easy Armor keeps intruders out. It's barely visible and installs easily. Easy Armor reinforces a door's Armor's weak points, comes in three colors, and is guaranteed to stop kick-ins. Get Easy Armor now and get peace of mind. Order by calling 888-58-ARMOR. That's 888-582-7667. Or go to easyarmor.net, spelled EZARMOR.net. Special offer only available to GCN listeners. Ask about it when you call for your Easy Armor today from Armor Concepts. Ultimate door security made easy. Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. You know, growing up in the East Coast, we had many of my family members from New Jersey on to talk about what was going on during Sandy. Some of them were hit pretty hard. Some of them feel pretty lucky they skated away with absolutely no damage, just electricity out for a day or two. Now there's conversation, not so much focused on here comes this hurricane, but what are the devastating effects of the hurricane and what will happen in the future for those coastal areas? There's a debate about rebuilding, even Atlantic City or further north, Seaside Heights, where so many of you saw the roller coaster in the water and couldn't believe it and couldn't believe the effects, frankly, of the water lapping up over an area near Wall Street where the water just came up, the Hudson just came up and was flooding so many places, but certainly Staten Island, and we could pick apart many of the suburbs, many of the areas that were slammed by this. And the common denominator for most of them is they're vulnerable. They're right there on the coast. So John Englander joins us now. He's got a great book out called High Tide on Main Street. Eerily enough, it was released just a couple of days before Sandy hit. And he warns in this book, I'll just give you a quick synopsis because he's in our virtual green room, that the same weather type of scenario in New York City and all those surrounding areas that actually occurred could happen again and again and again. So what do we do about it? John, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Glad to be with you, Kate.
So when the storm was predicted and it happened, you know, afterwards people were talking about the fact that they didn't expect that it was going to have such a wide swath, that it was going to swallow up those coastal areas. But when you look at climate and the emerging weather patterns, you weren't necessarily surprised by it, were you?
I wasn't surprised by the effect in New York Harbor. That's what I wrote about, is just one of dozens of examples of what could happen to people's great surprise. But I wasn't talking about the width of the storm. The fact that that storm wound up being 1,000 miles in diameter was a peculiar weather effect, like the classic perfect storm where different weather systems came together And that wasn't the phenomenon I was talking about. Now, the oceans are at least a degree and a half warmer than they were a century ago, and warmer oceans indicate more intense, more of the intense storms. But I wouldn't take a position that we're going to have necessarily more thousand-mile diameter storms. The phenomenon I was talking about was that as sea level continues to rise decade after decade, and that's the primary part of the book, but as that combines with storm surge, as we saw with Sandy, and then when it hits at an extreme high tide, which happened with Sandy, that's bad enough. But then in certain locations, and New York Harbor was just one of the many examples, there are geologic or geographic or topographic situations that are going to really amplify the effect. And that's what we saw with Sandy. And it's the in New York's area, it's because Long Island acts like a bit of a funnel or an oblique angle with New Jersey, and acts like a funneling effect with the storm coming from the southeast, which is what that storm did, which is unusual. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing that nobody tends to remember, but they're an oceanographer, is that there's a long continental shelf, shallow plate coming out from that part of the East Coast. And with the storm coming from that direction, the water piles up, which is exactly what happened. So I was describing that potential effect. The fact that it happened 1 week to the day after my book published is fairly remarkable.
And so, you know, you look at this, and there are different scenarios, and you do talk about this with the sea level rising, as you mentioned, in the coast, because you've got long-term possibilities or scenarios and short ones. What's a short scenario? What could happen in the short interim time?
How do we define short in your case?
Short meaning, you know, just a handful of years.
Okay. In a handful of years, we can get more events like Sandy, not necessarily that width or quite that dramatic, but we're going to probably get more storms. We're going to get, because storms are driven by heat in the ocean, and the ocean is warmer, and that's measurable. And the combination of slowly rising seas, which we've seen in most parts of the world in the last 20, 30 years, a good metaphor is that in a basketball game, if you raise the floor of the basketball court by a few inches, the point scores would dramatically increase. The height of the basketball players would be the same, and the height of the basket off the court would be the same. But as the floor rose just 3 or 4 inches, you'd see a big difference, as anybody can imagine. And the same thing with sea level rise. You only have to add an inch or two to add considerable distance to the storm surge that goes on top of it. And then when it hits in an extreme tide, and we're seeing more pronounced extreme tides, the so-called king tides, as those things all come together, we're going to get more erosion. Now, the one thing that most people haven't identified yet is that the sea level part, which comes from those melting ice sheets in Greenland and Antarctica, has a huge run that has just started. And they'll rise tens of feet eventually over the coming centuries. But as sea level rises, and it won't go down for 1,000 years, it's part of a much longer cycle. As sea level rises, and we've come out of a 6,000-year period when sea level has been stable, that we're going to just see this gradual effect. And when it coincides with storm surge and extreme tides, as happened with Sandy, it's just going to be a disaster. So those things can happen any time we get that storm surge. It's that longer-term effect that I was pointing people to as well, which is that after 6,000 years of sea level being unchanged because the ice sheets haven't changed much, in 6,000 years, we've entered a new era. And as I explain in the book in some detail, this is hard to get our heads around because we built up to the coastline believing that was the coastline because sea levels changed maybe a foot or two in the last 6,000 years, maybe three at the most, but very, very gradual. Now it's going to go up 3 or 6 feet this century. And could be more, and it'll be worse the next century. So we've just got to really look at the shoreline differently and realize that the coastline is moving inland, as it has happened in the past. We just tend to have a pretty poor sense of geologic time. We tend to think things are stable if they last for a year, maybe 10 years. But in geologic time, 1,000 years is a blip.
I like that geologic time. So here's the thing. My family, where we went to the shore was Cape May, New Jersey, and Wildwood Crest, and I have seen massive erosion. I know exactly what you're talking about, even in the time period from being a little girl to a grown woman, you know, 2 decades out of college and going back and seeing the shoreline. It's unbelievable to me. I mean, unbelievable. I can't fathom what's happened there. It's very, very strange. So is there a danger, or is there something to realize, as you say, what we think is our shoreline, to building up right on top of where we were, where we had houses and condos and all that kind of stuff before? Is this something to, hey, kind of be worried about, maybe back it up?
You know, actually, again, it's hard to get geologic perspective unless you study it, just like it's hard to understand things at the cellular level in the body or the universe for astronomers until you really study it and, you know, analyze it and do the thorough analysis and study. But with sea level, it moves up and down vertically 600 feet, which is just hard to contemplate. I mean, 20,000 years ago, we had an ice age. Nobody doubts that. There are kids' movies about that now.
Sure.
And during the last ice age, when there were 2 miles of ice on North America and Europe, just like there is remaining in Antarctica and Greenland, when we had 2 miles of ice, the ocean was down 390 feet straight down from today. That's a 30-story building. Now, it rose for 14,000 years, and it reached the current level 6,000 years ago. That's about when our current civilization began. Our written records go back that far. So we somehow assumed that that's where the shoreline was. But back to your observation, now see the ice sheets are melting in Greenland and Antarctica, and the shoreline or the sea level is going to rise for decade after decade after decade for 1,000 years or more. And as the sea level rises a foot, the shoreline moves in inland typically hundreds of feet. So we've come out of this period of stability. I call it a slack tide when sea level didn't change, which was an anomaly, an exception in Earth history. And now we're just barely starting to realize that it's a whole new era. And so those condos and houses on the beach, we need to rethink that. We're not going to stop this. We can slow it down if we do the right things, but we need to adapt to a sea level that's going to rise and a shoreline that's going to move inland for as far into the future as we can see.
Yeah. What are some things that we can do? As you say, we need to adapt and adjust a few things. Give us one of the things that you would do. How could we adapt?
Well, adapting to rising sea level and a coastline that's moving inland means building higher, kind of like they do in the Florida Keys where the ground floor has, you know, nothing that can't be flooded. Means the air conditioners and the electric systems and things like that are raised up to the above the ground floor. It's just a car park. In the Florida Keys has been coping with hurricane damage for the last 50 or 60 years, and the building codes and just practical building techniques now dictate that you allow for a storm surge to wash through the ground floor. And we could take that lesson in lots of places. We should move farther back from the shoreline, and we should really just put our human creativity and energy and technology into designing structures that allow for not just a 3-foot tidal rise, which is typically what it is there in New Jersey, up and down each day, but a much, much higher rise. And if we recognize this is happening, and it's the simple physics, I say it, ice melts at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. I mean, the ice is melting, and as the ice melts, it's going to flow to the ocean and raise the ocean height. So that it's a simple fact. It has nothing to do with politics or beliefs or can we get off of coal or anything else. The ocean is rising. So adapting is rising, is raising buildings, setting back, and new techniques to recognize and accept that this is a really long-term secular change that is unprecedented in human history.
Yeah. John, makes so much sense. Thanks so much for coming on the show. John Engler, you pick up his book, High Tide on Main Street. Where can people get this? I'm sure Amazon, right, where books are sold?
Absolutely. It's online. It's in all the ebook formats for Nook, Kindle, and the iPad. It's not in bookstores yet and won't be until there's enough demand, but it is available online from either Amazon or Barnes & Noble online.
Perfect. John, thank you so much. You shed some great light on the great mystery of the rising tides. We appreciate it.
The location, Denver Convention Center. Timeline, June 27th through 29th, 2013. The event, the Doomsday Expo. Our world and nation are changing. It's time for an educational experience that will enlighten you and the entire family at the Doomsday Expo, June 27th, 28th, and 29th at the Denver Convention Center. Check out the latest survival products. Learn valuable survival techniques. Meet other preppers and meet guest speakers, including Dr. Joel Wallach, Scott Hunt, Jay Blevins, and more. Boost your knowledge with seminars on natural disaster preparedness, long-term prepping, survival gardens, self-defense, off-grid living, and financial planning. Ladies will get a valuable female perspective on family defense and preparedness. There's even a casting call for Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, and everyone will enjoy the first dry food cook-off. Tickets are just $14 for all 3 days and a Saturday evening concert. Mark your calendars for June 27th through 29th and get all the details at doomsdayexpo.com. Doomsdayexpo.com. Preparation starts here.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
I lost 18 pounds in just 4 days. Want to know how? Hi, I'm James Zetta. If you're like me, you've already tried and failed at many diet and weight loss plans. But if you still need and want to lose weight, if you're searching for a simple, safe, healthy approach to lose weight that is extremely easy to follow, listen to this. The 18 and 4 weight loss plan requires no exercising, no diet pills or additives, no laxatives, no meal replacements, and no diet drinks. The 18 and 4 program can help you lose 10, 20, 30 pounds or more, and it fits both men and women of all ages. The 18 and 4 program is crystal clear with a day-to-day, step-by-step, and meal-to-meal guide. And the best part? If you're not satisfied with your results, I will give you my 30-day full money-back guarantee. This program has helped thousands lose 18 pounds in 4 days, and it can do the same for you. Go to 18and4.com. That's the number 18, I-N, the number 4.com. 18and4.com. Easy to download, easy to start losing weight today with 18and4.com.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet as pride. Her hands are never cold, she's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn her music on you, you won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow, she got Betty Davis eyes. She'll unheave you of the bad just to please you. She's precocious and she knows just what it takes to make a pro blush. She got...
All right, here we are on the flip side, heading for the exits of this hour anyway for America Tonight. Hey, America, how you doing? Hopefully you had a great big bad weekend with your family, with your friends, whatever it is that you did, and had a chance to usher in the summer American style. And that means all kinds of things. Usually some outdoor eating, unless you're in Minneapolis, because Matt says cold weather is just now the norm. You know, talking there about the weather. It's just what you deal with when you live there by the mothership. There's like no sunny days. Please, please, what happened to those 80-degree temperatures? In talking to John England, let me give you a couple of updates, as I said I would. One, we know that the roller coaster that was dumped into the water at Seaside Heights, now that has been taken out, and the boardwalk is being restored. It's about from what I was told in checking on Friday, it's about 65% of the area that they want done. And not the whole boardwalk is destroyed anyway, but they're nearing finishing up what they started. And it's interesting because we've been talking about, sadly, tornadoes and what happened in Moore, Oklahoma. 24 people killed. It's a tornado nightmare. It's the third tornado in as many years, 20, 30 years that they've had in that area. And people are running out and spending the money now on storm shelters for fear that, hey, if this happens again, we want a safe place to go. And we don't want to have to think about it. If we never have to use it, wouldn't that be a great thing? And we're just going to finance it, figure out a way, $5,000 to $8,000 to some, in some cases, even a little bit more, but we'll figure out how to do it. Well, now you're talking about hurricane season, and in hurricane season, there's not a, there's more warning with a hurricane, but it can be just as deadly with the flood waters and all that a hurricane brings with it. And the Atlantic hurricane season is that time in a year when hurricanes usually form in the Atlantic Ocean. Makes sense, doesn't it? So they start to predict. The season starts June 1st, which is coming up, and it ends November 30th. And what NOAA is saying, the Climate Prediction Center, they're forecasting an active or extremely active season this time around. So they haven't done that in a while. They say there's a 70% likelihood of 13 to 20 named storms with winds of 40 mile an hour or more. 7 to 11 could become hurricanes, winds 75 or more. 3 to 6 major hurricanes, 3, 4, or 5, that's winds over 100 miles an hour. So it's pretty high. It's above the average for what they normally say. And there are things that are put into play here where that they're reading. They're not just reading tea leaves, but they're looking at forecasts to try to get a sense of what could happen. It's not a hurricane landfall forecast because it doesn't predict how many storms will hit land. How could they do that? Or where a storm's going to strike. But individual storms, looking at what's gathering and reading some maps down the line and looking at the entire season. So, you know, basically get ready for the next big storm. And the start of the hurricane season is a huge reminder that this can happen anywhere, anytime. Businesses, houses, prepare. Have an emergency plan. I mean, now that no longer is an option, I think. If you have a family, if you're single, it doesn't matter. For goodness sake, have something. Whether it's flashlights, generator, water, food, be emergency prepared. Because we're seeing these storms with the tornadoes we saw, with the hurricanes, it can be terrible. I mean, it's deadly. You get near that eye and you look at some of the data that the National Weather Service is looking at. So they're tweaking their system to allow for changes, to allow for the fact that Sandy may have become post-tropical. And that flexibility allows them to provide a flow of forecast and warning info for continuing threats. Wouldn't that be good? And by the way, we are in National Hurricane Preparedness Week. You might have seen on the tube, Al Roker does some kind of a public service announcement where he's talking about the weather and then all of a sudden it's a hurricane. And you see other things like that that are peppered in all over the tube anyway, and probably radio and elsewhere. Just a reminder that we are in it now, and we'll see how many of those predictions come true. Let's hope none of the big storms, what they said, Cat 3, 4, or 5, 3 to 6 major ones? Oh, let's hope not. The East Coast can ill afford to have that happen after burying out of Sandy. They're not even on their feet in Long Island. Or even Seaside Heights, as I said, they're much further along, but they're still having problems. All right, speaking of problems, now what's coming out of Moore, Oklahoma is conversations about the devastation, how big the tornado was, EF5, the worst that you can imagine. They're thinking 300-mile-an-hour winds smashed into that one elementary school, Plaza Towers. And those poor kids, how do you have a chance against that? There were some incredible teachers that sheltered the ones that were left there, because the different parts of the school got hit in different ways. But you see what was left behind, and you can't believe anybody got out of there. You can't believe it. So these sudden tornadoes are so common that they're just, I think they're just going to have to come up with, at the schools, a way to come up with some kind of a shelter. But, you know, money is tight in elementary schools. As they expand, they can barely afford to expand. And now they've got to rebuild. So you've got Briarwood, these are the two schools, and Plaza Tower School that were decimated. It's just bricks and desks and books and mud. That's all that's left there. 7 students died in the middle of all of that. All the kids at Briarwood survived. And thousands of others, of course, in the school district there. It was just those two schools that were really slammed by it. But I would think that they're going to try to come up with a way to see if they can't figure out how they could get some funding, maybe for some safer places for the kids to go. Because, you know, as I heard one of the teachers say, you can't, people around the country are hearing that and they don't understand, but you can't, for the amount of warnings and stuff that they get, you could not evacuate. It would be the whole month of May. You could not evacuate the school to say, okay, it's one of those days, we think it's going to happen, so don't come to school today. They would lose 30 or 40 days, and nothing might touch down at all. But, boy, when you see what happened there, how do you risk it, too? That's a tough thing, I think, to try to figure out. And when you wrap your arms around how big that funnel cloud was and how long it was on the ground, I mean, it's just hard to imagine. 1.3 miles wide officially. 17-mile-long path, that's crazy. And put that into perspective to give context to it. Think of it. The storm moved at 34 miles an hour. That is less than the speed limit on an average residential road. You're probably your street, right? 19 football fields laid end-to-end is what we're talking about, how wide it was. That's why there was so much damage. 19. Think of how vast a football field is. And that gives you an idea of why that place was decimated. I say if you live there, you gotta figure out a way, even if you go in with your neighbor, whatever it is, to come up with a safe place to go. We are safely through the first hour here on America Tonight, reminding you, if you want to vent, throw in your 2 cents or anything else, send me a note, americatonight.net.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.